today is found in the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, concerning Thomas. We left off speaking to you last week how that the two men from Emmaus came to the disciples who were gathered together in a room privately, and how they began to tell them that they had met the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been seen by them, and that while they were there, they likewise had heard that Simon Peter, he likewise had a meeting of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this chapter we find it was evening, the first day of the week, and the disciples were gathered together with the door shut for fear of the Jews. And while they were gathered together, suddenly Jesus appeared in their midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And then he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. We find that when he did this in the 24th chapter of Luke, when he came into this room and appeared unto them, they were terrified. They were affrighted. They thought that they saw a spirit, these disciples. He came and spake, "Peace be unto you." This was to take away their fright, and this was to calm them. When they heard this wonderful voice, "Peace be unto you," it was the voice that they had been accustomed to listen to. Of these disciples, they were gathered together here in this room with the door shut for fear of the Jews. You know, the Jews had spread the lie by the mouth of the soldiers that the disciples had come by night and had stolen his body away. And now they were afraid that the rulers and the priests of the Jews would take them prisoners and try to establish this lie that they were spreading. Therefore, they were afraid to expose themselves to the Jewish rulers. They were known to be followers of Jesus Christ, and therefore they concealed themselves in this room. They kept the door shut. They only opened the door to those who they knew. There were 10 of the disciples and others gathered together in this room. And suddenly Jesus appeared in their midst. Some think that he came right through the walls and came right through the door. This doesn't seem to be true, for we find that he proved to his disciples later on that he had a human body. Human bodies don't go through walls or go through doors. I agree, the Lord Jesus Christ has power to do that. There isn't anything that he cannot do. But he came here to prove to his disciples that he was risen from the dead, that it was the same body that he had while he was with them upon earth. Some think likewise that the door opened just like it did before Peter and the angel. The angel delivered Peter out of prison, you know, and the doors, they just opened up before him, and he walked out of the gate and out into the street. So when Christ came, no doors can keep him back. He just walked, and the door opened, and he entered into the room. And he spake unto them, "Peace be unto you." Now this was a wonderful message to these disciples. And what a wonderful sight they had. This was their Jesus. This was their master. This was one that they had been following all the while. This was the one that they were mourning over and thinking that he was dead and buried. And here he stood now alive before them. And to prove that it was he showed them his hands and his side. the wounds that the nails had made in his hands, and the wound that the soldier had put in his side, the Roman soldier with his sword. He showed this to his disciples to prove to them that it actually was himself. And they needed this proof. They were soon to go forth into the world to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful love towards sinners and the resurrection of the dead by him. They likewise were to be heralds of this wonder that Jesus had done in coming forth out of the grave and triumphing over death, over hell, over Satan, over sin. They then were given a sight of this precious Christ for their own heart and soul. And when he revealed himself in this way, we read, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They then were filled with joy and peace in believing that this was their risen Lord and Savior, and no one could take their joy away. Oh, how happy were these disciples when they saw their master again. Oh, what a blessed sight these apostles had of Jesus. How many amongst my hearers are longing for such a sight? We cannot see him bodily like they did. But he is to be seen by hearers. He's to be seen by precious faith. Oh, a sight of him. And if we should be privileged to have such a sight, and to see in his nails where the wounds had been in his hands, and to see in his side, we would read therein love. Love to you. Oh, that we all who are gathered here may have such a sight by faith of this precious Christ, that he loved us, that he died for us, that he shed his blood for us. Oh, who would not give everything they have if they could but believe that this was for them? Oh, my hearers, Jesus is the most glorious and the most wonderfulest person that we could view by faith in this way. I am sure then we would be glad. We would be filled with joy and peace. And now the Lord Jesus Christ spake unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. God the Father had commissioned his Son to come into this world to perform this wonderful work of salvation for his people who he had chosen from all eternity. He then was commissioned by God and sent into this world to be a mediator and a redeemer and a savior for sinners. He came and fulfilled this commission what God had laid upon him. And now he commissioned his disciples, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. They were then to go forth to proclaim unto the whole world that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that in and through his suffering and death and resurrection, there was a way open whereby sinners could be pardoned, could be reconciled with God again. This commission they were given here at this present time. And when he spake this unto them, he breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The breath of God was breathed into Adam. When God created Adam, he breathed into him and he became a living soul. The breath is likewise a type of the Spirit of God. In Ezekiel 37, we find Ezekiel looking into a valley filled with dry bones. And a question was put to him, can these bones live? And he answered, Lord, thou knowest. And he prayed that the breath would come into these bones that they may begin to live. A type of the Spirit, my hearers. The breath of Christ is his blessed Spirit. And this he breathed upon them. He qualified them. He gave them authority. He gave them a commission to go forth to preach in his name. He gave them opening, liberty, and the door of utterance through the Spirit by breathing upon them. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they shall be remitted. And whosoever sins ye retain, they shall be retained. They then were given authority and given power likewise in this respect by the preaching of the gospel to remit sins and to retain sins. They were given the two doctrines of reconciliation and of condemnation. By the preaching of the gospel, they would open a way for poor sinners who by the Spirit of God were longing, were breathing, were crying, were desiring to find peace with God. They would proclaim to such that in this person all their sins were forgiven. And there was remission for the greatest of sinners who felt their need of it. This was a proclamation of reconciliation. Those that believed it, those that the Spirit of God applied it to, they were given the comfort of it. But those that did not believe, did not receive their message, their sins remained on them. It is an impossibility, and it is preposterous to think that any man can forgive a transgression committed against its creator. It is only God that can forgive sins. We have in the Catholic Church the form of absolution. A priest, he can forgive the sins of those that come to him. It is only God that can forgive sins. These men did not have that authority and power to forgive sins to whosoever they wanted to. It was God that used their message to this end. By this power, my hearers, we find Peter standing before Ananias and Sapphira, and he struck them dead. He had a spirit of discernment to know who were in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity and who were not. We find likewise Paul speaking unto Elymas, a sorcerer, a hypocrite, and he, by the word of the gospel, proclaimed him blind. He was struck blind for his hypocrisy. These apostles then were given this power, this authority, through the preaching of the word. And we find that these disciples were gathered together, and Jesus had likewise commissioned them. But there was one absent. Thomas, called Didymus, he was not there. Now this man, his name means twin. He was called by the Lord Jesus Christ to be an apostle, and he forsook everything. He was given power to preach the gospel and to heal the sick and to cast out devils. He was attached to Jesus Christ. He greatly loved him. We find that when Lazarus died, and Jesus spake unto his disciples that Lazarus sleepeth, then he spoke clearly and said, Lazarus is dead 4 days already. Let us go to him. Thomas, he says, let us go also and die with him, not with Lazarus. Thomas meant with this, that if Jesus went into Judea, the Jews in Judea were filled with hatred and malice against Christ. And that if they saw him, they would stone him to death. And Thomas, he said, let us go with him. And let us be stoned to death too. We love him so, we'd rather die with him. Thomas loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he was not gathered with these apostles at this time. Some think maybe he was sick. Others, that he was not invited. He knew nothing about the meeting. Others, that he was indisposed. That he purposely didn't come. That he had other business to attend to. That he would rather do that than go to this meeting. What the reason was, the Bible doesn't say. But this man, Thomas, he likewise with the other apostles felt greatly the loss of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been so attached to him. And now when this took place, that he was crucified, that he died, that he was buried, with Thomas, everything went into the grave with him. What must I think, he thought. I thought sure that this was the Messiah. I thought sure that this was the Lord of life and glory. But oh, I don't know what to think anymore. He was brought into a doubting frame. But this man, Thomas, he was thinking that all had come to an end inside by him. Because Jesus had died, and all his hopes and all his expectations were gone. And now, Thomas, he met the other apostles. And when they met him, they said unto him, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. He's risen. He's alive. He was before us. He showed us his hand and his side. Oh, you should have been there, Thomas, and you would have seen him too. This teaches us, my hearers, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We never know when Jesus might come in our midst. There are many that try and seek after legitimate excuses not to come to the assembly of the saints. They're seeking for some reasons to stay home. Many times even, dear children of God, it's so dead within. They're so lifeless. And this week after week, they don't have anything under the means of grace. Oh, my hearers, they feel so far from God and they think everything is gone anyway. There's no use anymore of coming up to the house of God. Maybe it was this way with Thomas. It's many times this way with God's dear children. And sometimes they purposely stay away because of these reasons. I don't say that any has done so, but I'm sure that this is taking place with some of the saints. And now we are taught that we should not forsake the assembly of the saints. For we never know what may take place in the midst of those that are looking up unto God. These apostles, they had had a glorious sight of Jesus. They were so filled with it. They were overflowing with it. And when they met Thomas, well, they couldn't do anything else but tell him everything that had taken place. Oh, what they had seen of the Lord and what he had said and how he had commissioned them. You know, this is good too, my hearers. If God gives us an experience according to his word and testimony, and we have enjoyed and tasted and handled something of the word of life, and we meet another saint, maybe a Thomas, then it's sometimes so good to tell them what God has done for us, how we have enjoyed something under the means. And as we may relate this, this poor soul who feels so dead and so lifeless sometimes is struck You know, a live coal ignites sometimes another one. And it's not good to keep those things to ourselves. These apostles, they began to relate their experience unto Thomas. And now had Thomas been there, then he likewise would have seen the Lord. But he was not there. And now Thomas, he says unto the other brothers, he said, unless, he says, I see him and put my finger in the print of his nails and thrust my hand into his bosom, I will not believe. Thomas, he then was, as many say, filled with unbelief. He was a doubting man at this present time. He would not believe unless he saw and unless he put his finger in his hands and his hand in his side. Thomas, he was not like so many of my hearers. There are so many people that take the historical truth, believe this, and mean that they are saved, are satisfied with it, without ever having a revelation of Jesus Christ to their souls. Oh, how many go on the bare assent of the word and think it is well with them. I am sure every one of you that are listening to me believe historically that Christ Jesus came into this world, that he lived here, that he suffered, that he bled, that he died, that he arose again, and that he ascended up into heaven. But this doesn't save us. But there is more necessary than this, my hearers. All these men, they had experienced something in that room, and there may be some listening to me that have likewise experienced something under the means of grace. They have enjoyed the word at times, and it has been sweet, sweeter than the honeycomb. They have eaten it, and it's been to the joy and to the rejoicing of their heart. And oh, what a mercy if we have had this experience in this life, my hearers. Oh, it's a sign that God has a favor towards us. There was times in the lives of these people that they were so close to the Lord, and they were so filled with love and affection to him, and they felt that if they died, they would sure go to heaven. And now this all subsides. This all seems to go away. There don't seem to be anything left of what they have enjoyed under the means of grace. And then they come into this state like Thomas. They begin to see and to realize that all what they have experienced is insufficient. But then they are brought to feel their need of Jesus. Thomas, he was not satisfied with what he had heard from his other brothers. And I am sure, had he believed that, that wouldn't have filled him with joy. That wouldn't have been any comfort to him. If you or I experience something, and we may feel it and believe it for our own heart, we can't pass this on to another person. Thomas, he needed the same revelation for his own heart to believe like these apostles had. He did not say to them, I don't believe you. Oh, you're lying. No, I think he believed that they had really seen the Lord themselves. But he hadn't seen him, and he couldn't believe. And he needed the same thing. And Thomas, he went away from the apostles And it was a week later. A whole week went by. Oh, what he went through in that week, the Bible don't relate to us. But I am sure that this man, he was in such doubt, in such unbelief, that he was praying that God would deliver him out of his unbelief, that God would manifest again his favor and his love to his soul. And a whole week went by in this state and condition. And he came again the first day of the week when the disciples were gathered together. It may be that he went to this meeting with, well, who can tell? Maybe the Lord will appear to me. Thomas, he was there present with the rest of the apostles. And it was again evening time, the first day of the week. This proves to us that the first day of the week had become the Christian Sabbath. For Jesus himself came twice on the first day of the week. God gave his approval to this, and from then on, the first day of the week has been the Christian Sabbath. And Thomas gathered together with the apostles. Suddenly, with the door shut, the Lord Jesus came into their midst. And he said unto them, "Peace be unto you." Oh, I think these apostles, they were frightened at first to see the Lord again. But then I think they all looked at Thomas and they said, "Well, Thomas," in themselves, "you didn't believe us? Now, there he is. Just the same way he came to us last week." This is what they were saying. Inside, they didn't say it to him. But this is what they thought. "Oh, Thomas, there he is. He said the same words. And now my hearers," the Lord Jesus Christ had heard Thomas say this too. He knew what Thomas had said, "except I put my fingers in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And the Lord Jesus Christ came on purpose for Thomas. He knew what Thomas needed. He knows what each one of his dear children need. He knows their state, their condition. He knew what Thomas had went through, how filled he was with unbelief and doubts and fears. He knew this apostle needed a revelation of himself to his soul. And therefore he came purposely to Thomas. And he spake unto him right away. He didn't speak to the rest of the apostles. He turned and said to Thomas, "Thomas, come here. You wanted to put your finger in the print of the nails that were in my hands. Come here, Thomas. You wanted to put your hand into my side. I come now, Thomas, to accommodate you. You wanted to do this, and by doing this you would believe. That's why I'm here. Come, Thomas, put your finger into the nails. Put your hand into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And when the Lord Jesus Christ spake in this way to Thomas, Thomas was given such a measure of faith, my hearers. Inside by Thomas, I think it was going like this. "Well, Lord, you have revealed yourself to me. You're showing me your hand, your side. Oh, you're giving me so much love and so much affection to thyself. And you're giving me so much faith to believe." He fell into a rapture of joy and cried out, "My Lord and my God." Oh, my hearers, we see that Thomas was brought from one extreme to the other. In one moment, oh, how wonderfully was this apostle led. He was given to say words that the other apostles had never spoken. He was given to claim the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his God. My Lord and my God, he says. Oh, faith triumphed over all the doubts and all the unbelief that was in Thomas. This faith which Jesus was the author of, which he flooded into his soul at this time, just gave him to burst out with this expression. Oh, my hearers, what a change took place in Thomas. Immediately, he was the greatest believer of all the apostles there. Oh, how wonderful did Jesus deal with this apostle in this way. Be not faithless, but believing. Oh, it was so simple for Thomas to believe. Before, he could not believe. He needed a revelation of Christ to his own soul. Could he but believe? Oh, there are so many Thomases. Maybe there's some amongst my hearers. Oh, there are some too that have enjoyed, just like Thomas, communion and fellowship with Jesus. They have enjoyed much under the means of grace. They have had their hearts warmed. And while he was speaking unto them, and still they did not know him, oh, they have been filled with joy sometimes to believe that he had a favor towards them, that they were one of his children. And oh, they have been brought to by sin, by the devil, by their own evil heart, and sometimes by the hiding of God's face into such pits, into such depths, that they could not believe anymore. How many have been there? How many listening to me know something of these depths, of coming into such darkness, not being able to see any signs anymore? No matter how bright they were at one time and how much you speak about them, sin obscured them all, and you fell into a pit. And you couldn't believe, and you wouldn't believe, except that the Lord would manifest himself to your soul again. And all like Thomas, you have been given to come under the means of grace. All done. Oh, there was no use, no hope anymore. And suddenly, there Jesus appeared in the ministration of his word. He applied it to your heart, and you were lifted up, just like Thomas, out of the pit of despondency and of doubt and of unbelief, and you were given again to believe. Oh, what a gracious experience this is, my hearers. How many have had it? Oh, this is a sign that Jesus loves you, that Jesus visits you, that he has a favor towards your immortal soul. For the Lord Jesus said unto Thomas, Thomas, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Thomas was given to see him with his bodily eyes. There are very few saints that have been privileged to see the Lord Jesus Christ bodily. Most of the saints have seen him by faith. Blessed are they that have not seen but yet believe. Oh, how many millions of saints. Millions, I say, and that's true. Ah, there'll be millions in glory about my hearers. All the saints from Adam until Christ never seen him in the body. They were given to see him by precious faith. They were given to believe in the promises that he was to come. And upon these they died and they entered to be with Christ. And only those that lived while he was here upon earth were given to see him bodily. Those that have since been given to believe, they have never seen him in the flesh. But oh, what a mercy, my hearers. If we are one of those who Jesus speaks of, blessed are they who have not seen, but yet believe. Are you one of them? Jesus pronounced you blessed. If you have ever experienced something of seeing him by precious faith in the glass of his word, seeing something of his loveliness, of his all-sufficiency, of his mercy, of his pity, of his compassion towards you, a poor sinner. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers. And many things hath Jesus showed after that. Many signs hath he given unto his apostles, which are not written in this chapter, but those that are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that ye might have life. This is what the apostle closes this chapter with. The Lord Jesus Christ then gave many infallible proofs unto his apostles. Oh, yes, he showed himself many times to them after he was risen from the dead. Now we find in the beginning of the next chapter that he appeared again for the third time unto his apostles upon the Sea of Tiberias. You will take notice, after Christ rose from the dead, the apostles had to wait till Jesus appeared unto them. Before this, every morning they left their homes and they went to Jesus. They were with Jesus. They seen him perform the miracles. They heard him preach. They mingled with him all the while. But once this had taken place, they had to wait until he came. And now, Jesus had been 8 days gone in between the one Sabbath and the other Sabbath that he appeared unto Thomas. Now the question is, where was he these 8 days? We can never determine where he was, and it'd be foolishness on our part to do so. You know, when he first came into his ministry, he was 40 days taken into the wilderness, and he was tempted of the devil. 40 days he was unseen. Nobody saw him. 40 days after his resurrection, he was here upon earth, but for the most part of the time, unseen. Still, John says, he gave many infallible proofs and signs unto his apostles that he was their Savior, their Redeemer. He appeared again here at the Sea of Tiberias. My time is gone. I'd like to enter into this. But the Lord willing, we'll pick it up next week. God bless what I've been trying to teach to you this afternoon, to your immortal souls. That's all for today.